All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1149 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, September 26th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. Hey, you can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be talking about Google secrets. We're going to talk about the battle between Disney and Microsoft in purchasing Twitter. We're going to talk about the RIAA back on the rampage. And we're going to talk about something kind of different, FPGA. And many of you are going to be like, what is that? So we'll get into that a little bit later. But more importantly, how would you feel about paying your insurance bill, your car insurance bill, if you had to pay by the mile? So we'll be talking about that and many more topics tonight here on the Geek News Central podcast. I want to give a warm welcome to all of the new listeners that are checking out the show for the very first time. Whether you be listening, whether you be watching on the live stream now, either on YouTube or on Facebook, welcome. Or if you're catching the live show later, the recorded, the on-demand show later, it doesn't matter. We want to make sure that you take some time and get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're over on the website, you're going to find right there in the first column of the website, you're going to find multiple ways to subscribe to the show, whether it be on iTunes, on one of the 13 one-click subscribe on Android apps, via email, via Google Play, on Stitcher, via TuneIn, or just using a standard podcatcher with an RSS feed. There's lots of ways to get subscribed to the show, and we want you to do that. And of course, visit geeknewscentral.com daily to read all the great content. Of course, there's an article up on the website right now that we're going to talk about during the show, talking about Roku and revamping their complete product line. And just give me another expense to spend another $129 with them. But we'll talk about that and much, much more. Of course, if you want to reach out to the show, the best way to do so is via email, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter at geeknews. You can follow me, or you can join our Slack channel, too. All you got to do is drop me an email and say, I want to be part of the Slack channel and join in the discussions over there with fellow Geek News Central listeners. You can follow me on Google+ or on Facebook. Of course, you can watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel via the Roku, on my Facebook page, on the Apple TV with the Geek News Central podcast video feed. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this podcast name, and Alexa will fire up the latest edition. You can listen on Stitcher, or you can watch or view at blueberry.com. Of course, I want to just take a moment and mention our partner shows at geeknewscentral.com. No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis. I did see that Jamie's posted some new content over there, so definitely check that out. The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. The Pro Gear site was written by my writing team at Geek News Central. And, of course, the Podcast Legends Show, which we need to get a new episode out. I'm a little bit behind finding, you know, basically getting people scheduled. I'll talk about some things I'm going to do to try to eliminate or alleviate some of this backlog that I've got here in a few minutes. But of course, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of any podcast known to man. GoDaddy.com has been with us since July of 2005. We want to thank them for their ongoing, of course, the sponsorship of the podcast. And you can find all the great deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All of my promo codes really lead to great savings. And you've all been taking great advantage of those over the past couple of months. We've really been rocking, and I definitely appreciate all of your ongoing support. It's really been truly incredible. Whether it be a 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a 99cent.com, whether it be a 30-day trial website builder with some consultation with the folks at GoDaddy, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting or a dollar a month managed WordPress site for the first 12 months with a free domain. You know, you can get off the ground and running for 12 bucks. You can get a website up going and start podcasting. It's amazing writing a blog, doing something for your wife, for your kids. So definitely check out all the good deals. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Lock in your promo code when you get to the checkout counter by either clicking on the link on the promo code page or just by putting in the promo code at checkout. I prefer you to click the link. That's the best way to guarantee that my code is locked in. And we still continue to have some of the best deals available for GoDaddy. If you find one better, let me know, because I'll go track that sucker down with the team over there. But anyway, thanks for ongoing support at GoDaddy. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here, helping us maintain and keep the lights on. It is absolutely essential, and I want to thank all of you for your support. Glad to be back in the studio. And again, a warm, warm welcome to the Ohana. All the longtime listeners and viewers of the show, thank you for your ongoing support. And I think we've been running pretty good with continuous shows. Yeah, I've been trying to keep it kicking. We're at 1149 and about ready to bust halfway to 1200 here on the next episode. So try to keep this rolling, keep this this drive going forward with 8 shows a month. And don't know if we'll be able to fully maintain it, but I'll do my best. Just, you know, some administrative notes here. Well, let me first say, you know, I flew back on Saturday. 3 different legs. I flew, it was crazy. Went into Houston, to LA, to Honolulu. It just seemed like it took forever to get home. And it didn't help that Friday, I was pretty wound up. I had not, I was just bouncing hard all week. And Friday, I'm kind of just like, 4:30, 5 o'clock, get back to the hotel, put on the Bloop tube a little bit. I've been using my stick from Amazon, and I've been watching a series. And that's sometimes what I do when I travel, is I'll pick one of the multi-year series and I'll go through as many episodes as I can and when I have downtime. But I don't know what it was. Friday, I knew I had to leave for the airport real early. And I just could not. I mean, I'm telling you, could not sleep. Talk about counting sheep. I don't have insomnia. I lay down on the bed, 15 minutes, bam, I'm done. But not Friday, man. It was like, I don't know if I was apprehensive about missing my flight or whatever. Long story short, I rolled out of the hotel and went to the airport having not slept. So those first 2 legs, I definitely got some sleep. But got back in here late Saturday afternoon. Korshoko had arrived on Thursday. With all the traveling and all the craziness that was going on with her, I didn't expect her to be wanting to do too much. Things were, she was just down for the count. I got home, she says, I got a headache. And she was laying down on the couch, and I think she stayed there for like the next 15 hours or so. So just took care of things here. Then Sunday we ran around. We had to, part of the, and those of you that have been following the show know that her mother had just died. And part of the things that the Japanese do is they go around after a death and they visit all the cemeteries, all the family members. So here in Hawaii, we had to go to 18 different graves, from everything from uncles, aunties, great aunts, you name it, and go around and basically, and it sounds a little odd, and it's a cultural thing, and she couldn't quite explain it. My wife's Christian, but her mother was Christian and Shinto Buddhist. It's, she kind of switched up religion way through her life, but so they basically, you have to go tell the relatives that are in their crypts or in the graves that, you know, someone has joined them. And, yeah, so anyway, Sunday we spent some time going around to a variety of cemeteries and seeing some family members. And but anyway, that kind of just blew through Saturday afternoon all day Sunday. I was jet lagging hard both days and kind of got caught up. I think I'm back on schedule today, but potential travel next week. You know, I might be right back out of here Monday. We're still kind of touch and go whether or not it's going to happen or not. It all depends if some deals come through. So, but I'll let you know. And it will be pretty long. It'll be, if I leave on the 3rd of October, I probably won't be back until the 13th, which both those travel days are on, are essentially on show days. So I'll get someone to come in and do the show those 2 days. So just to let you know what's going on. I did not watch the debate tonight. I just could not fathom having to watch that insanity and then come on and do a show and be anywhere near sensible from watching this circus that's going on. So I didn't watch the debate. If you did, I hope your blood pressure's good. Mine's fine. And I'm sure we'll see about it on all the news for the next 10 weeks. But did not watch the debate, which was, man, that was a good decision today. I did watch some of the stuff in social media, and even that I had to kind of shut that down because it was just already getting stupid from both sides. But I did make a decision. I've got to the point of saturation here. And doing this extra show, I'm looking to hire, and this is going to be part-time, and I don't know how many hours. We're going to have to work out a deal, whether it's a flat rate a month or if I just pay someone an hourly fee, but I need some help booking some guests, and I'd rather work with someone within the Ohana that would like to step up and do some of that work for me. It's best if you're on in the mainland of the United States. And it's basically going to be working with me in my calendar and trying to get people booked and some instructions. And it just kind of takes some of that pressure off. So if you're up to that, and this is going to be completely Geek News Central podcast legends, maybe even some new media show stuff kind of combined. And so, if you got some extra time on your hands, maybe just even as many as 3 to 4 hours a week, with critical days basically being Mondays and Thursdays during the show, and then helping me book guests for podcast legends and working around my schedule and everything else. So, if you're interested in the position, drop me a note, and this will be paid position. We'll work on a flat fee or an hourly fee, something to that effect. You'll be a contractor, so you'll be a 1099. It's not I'm not going to have to give you direction. We'll give you the instructions on what to do, and you can go off and run with it. So I think I'll be fine with the IRS and being able to hire as your contractor. But that's kind of my plan. I need some help. So let me know if you're interested. Geeknews at gmail.com. And that's basically it for notes on what's going on here. So I hope everybody's doing good. And glad to be back in the studio for a couple of shows. And having all my stuff. And didn't feel so rusty coming into the podcast tonight. So, I have, Rita, lots of water. So I'm hydrated. going from the East Coast to Hawaii is typically, if you do it direct, like if you take the flight out in Newark and come to Honolulu, that's like 10 and a half hours, 9 and a half or nine, maybe 10 hours going, depends on the headwinds. But or tailwinds, but when you're doing multiple stops like I did, Houston, LA, and you have an hour or so or whatever it is, you know, typically that trip could be 15 or 16 hours with all the transfers, you know, going to the airport and, you know, all that stuff. So just, you know, but it's life. I've done this my entire life, so I can hang. And actually, you know, I still enjoy traveling to a certain extent. And, this trip was crazy. And, living on a suitcase sometimes, and this, I'll be honest with you, this trip didn't eat so well. Just didn't. It just seems like, every time I went to look for something, it was kind of bleh. Because, you know, everybody said, oh, you get to eat out a lot, blah, blah, blah. It gets old. I mean, it really gets old fast. And, I'll do better next trip. I always lose weight on trips. And I came home like 7 or 8 pounds lighter. So, as long as I can keep that up, I can do enough trips. I guess I can drop 20, 30 pounds just by traveling. Okay. I know. We'll get into the tech. And let me go ahead and load that up so that we're ready to rumble here. Excuse me. You know what? I've switched to a, I've been trying not to, you know, I used to drink a lot of Red Bull one Red Bull before the show. And I have switched to a Metaluca product that's a kind of like a power shot deal. But there's something in those drinks that makes my nose run. So I really didn't realize it till I was on the trip, because I didn't really get that runny nose thing during the show. And, but tonight it's just like, it's on again. And I'm like, it's gotta be those power drinks, which probably is part of the problem. All caffeine, I guess. Okay. So let me talk just a little bit about what's going on with Google. And maybe just a little bit about Apple too. Google is, you know, they've been kind of quiet on the product front, you know, hardware front for a while. You know, we haven't had like a new Nexus tablet for a while, and it's just all kind, it's been, you know, it's been quiet. But it appears next week on October 4th, they've got some announcements to make, which are kind of exciting. They're going to be coming, this is a photo that's been leaked, and it's been all over the place today. It's the Google 4K Chromecast, and this is a new, the new Chromecast is coming out. So so this is potentially going to be announced on the 4th, and supposedly like $69 for this bad boy. Well, it really doesn't end there. They've got some other things going. They've got this new Pixel smartphone has shown up as in a leaked image as well. So, let me bring this up so those of you that are watching can actually see it. So, this is the next Nexus, essentially the next Nexus phone. Of course, they want to drop an ad in here and push the picture down. But, you know, we're just a week away from them unveiling these smartphones. So, this is a pretty clear image of one of their gadgets. According to Android Police, this will be a 5-inch smartphone called the Pixel X to replace last year's LG-made Nexus 5X. While the 5.5-inch model called the Pixel XL will supplant the Huawei, and of course I can never pronounce that either, produced Nexus 6P, both phones are said to resemble a new philosophy at Google's phone division, which is aiming to be more opinionated about the software and hardware of its handsets. The smaller devices may start at around $649. But that isn't it. We know that Google has, you know, been pushing essentially the Chromecast or the Chrome operating system, right? Well, they're going to be launching, according to, you know, the rumors that are out there, and this is one that's over at 9to5, Google.com, is that they're talking about Google planning to launch AndroMedia on a Nexus Hoey tablet. So they're thinking there's going to be a Pixel laptop as well. They're saying that from multiple sources that Google plans to launch its forthcoming AndroMedia Android Chrome OS hybrid OS on two devices, a Huawei Nexus tablet and a convertible laptop. The later device was just reported by Android Police and was independently confirmed that device's plan, but they say that the Huawei Nexus, yes, a Nexus is also planned, but some of this may not come this year. The tablet may not come this year. The laptop may not come this year. So it's called a Pixel 3 laptop, and it's internally known as Bizon, and it's made to show off what Google's new AndroMedia OS would look like on a laptop. And there'll be two models of ultra-thin laptop with a 12.3-inch screen, and configuration reportedly include either an Intel M3 or i5 core, either 3,220 gigs of storage, either 8 or 16 gigs of RAM. There's a fingerprint scanner, 3.5-millimeter headset jack, two USB-C ports. Apparently around $800 will be the price on these. But these may not, this Pixel laptop may not come until 2017. So what really is going on here is I think Google is really going to start competing harder, in the hardware department. We kind of expected maybe a Chromecast update. That shouldn't come as a big surprise, but the Nexus tablet definitely does. That actually surprises me. Definitely due for a refresh there. So I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens here with Google and their secrets. So maybe they'll have some big announcements on the 4th. We'll definitely be following it and we'll report it when it comes out. Rumor on the street is Disney and Microsoft are among possible Twitter suitors. Twitter shares were marginally down at $23.33 in aftermarket trading. The microblogging service has reportedly started talks with a number of technology companies to sell itself. And it doesn't only include Microsoft and Disney. It also includes Google parent Alphabet Incorporated and may receive a formal bid soon. Salesforce is working with Bank of America on a potential bid. This is a report on Monday. Now, with Walt Disney, if you think about Disney, what does Disney have? They've got ESPN, right? Big three-letter network as well. They've got a whole, Disney's pretty powerful in the media space right now. So for them to own Twitter makes a lot of sense. Microsoft, yeah, they got money. So they got cash. So maybe they're just going to go out and buy this thing. But, I'm trying to think how this would fit into the Google product line. You know, it would supplant some of the stuff that they're doing with Google Plus and... So I don't know if there's a true play there with Google or not. But, I guess it's time. Sale could occur in the next 30 to 45 days. This afternoon or this evening when I was getting ready to promote the show, so getting ready to start, I posted via Hootsuite to Twitter, and I was able to, use those extra characters and put a picture image up. And, I found it very helpful here recently on Twitter, being able to, especially we run a monitoring service that basically looks for specific keywords when people are talking about our business or people are talking about podcast hosting or stats, and those keywords, we get this river of news on Twitter and a variety of other social media sites. And so oftentimes I've had to become very creative in replying to tweets when someone has asked for an instruction or asked for a certain thing. So now I've just got just that many more characters now, you know, just a few more. And it's made all the difference in the world, because I've been able to say to a, and I'm looking at my, okay, I'll tell you. And I'm looking at, and it's just, it's making it easier to communicate. All right, those of you that are watching the show right now, I see something on the camera lens and it's driving me crazy. So let me reach up here. Oh, it was a bug. It flew away. I was going to go up there and wipe the lens, and didn't have to. I kept saying, what is that on the lens? Those of you listening could care less, right? So we'll see what happens with Twitter here. But with these changes they've recently made, it's definitely more effective now. The RIAA, oh man, these folks, they just can't help themselves. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist. If you want to listen to a music video on YouTube to capture the audio. Okay, this ripping has been, you know, what? Okay, so I was ripping music on 8-tracks when I was a kid. And those of you who don't know what an 8-track is, believe me, it was the worst piece of audio medium known to man. But, you know, I would sit in my bedroom, Casey Kasem would come on with a top, you know, top 40, and I would sit there and I would record all 40, and I may have to use 3 8-tracks. But I would rip every top 40 song there. And I may have a little problem at the beginning, maybe a little problem at the end, but I got the majority of the song, right? So I was ripping music as a teenager, you know, like 12 years old. I'm in my room, and what would I be able to do? I could play, you know, all this top 40 on my stereo in my room at Mach 10 or 150 decibels and drive my parents absolutely batshit crazy. So now my mom loved music, so she often played music louder than I did. But so, okay, so I was doing that 8-tracks, and I went to cassettes and then moved to CDs. Everybody has been ripping music off the radio, off the internet live streams, off Pandora for years. Okay, let's be honest, all right? So now the RIAA, they're taking on stream ripping and copyright lawsuit targeting YouTube-MP3.org. The RIAA, the British Recording Music Industry, the BRMI, and other industry lobbyists have sued one of the world's leading websites. I didn't even know this website even existed until today. So it couldn't have been too world leading. They say that the YouTube-MP3.org facilitates copyright infringement by enabling so-called stream ripping for the masses. Stream ripping on YouTube-MP3.org essentially works like this. Input a YouTube music video URL into a field on the site, press convert video, and minutes later you have a fresh download of the music on video. Hey, if you want to do this podcast like this, that's a great way to get my podcast. The suit comes as the music industry is hoping the paid streaming service could fuel the resurgence of an industry that has barely grown the past 5 years. Let's be honest. If people want to rip music, cannot be any simpler today. There's software packages out there, you name it. You don't have to have a website. It's just asinine, to be honest with you. Said YouTube MP3.org is raking in millions on the backs of artists. Do you pay for this service over there? I have no idea. But this lawsuit basically is copyright infringement through stream ripping has become a major problem. Well, hey, RIAA, when I was a 12-year-old listening to the radio, FM, yes, we had FM then. I was ripping music then. And guess what? It was legal. It was for my personal consumption. I wasn't sharing. The lawsuit, which comes 2 weeks after a survey, found that 50% of people aged 16 to 24 now stream RIP. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Really? At least they're interested in the music. They don't have no money yet. You know, my 16... When I was a 16-year-old, actually, I worked my butt off, and I had money to spend. I had a car. I could put gas in my vehicle. I could take my girlfriend out on a date. We could go to dinner. You know, I wasn't flush with cash, but I had... I could hold my own. A lot of 16-year-olds don't have cash. Or if they do, they're more interested in buying clothes, shoes, you know, that kind of stuff, right? They're going to buy music later. They're going to be the next Pandora users. Leave them alone. YouTube.mp3.org has tens of millions of users and is responsible for upwards of 40% of all unlawful stream ripping of music from YouTube in the world. So here's what I want to do, Ohana. Everyone tell me, what are you guys, you know, if you're using any software today, what are you using for ripping, stream ripping, or just ripping? What are you guys ripping media to these days? Are you doing that? Or are you graduated and listen to Pandora, Spotify, and you don't have to do that anymore? I just find what drives me crazy about Pandora and Spotify, it just seems like I can never find the stuff I want, so I have to go back to my library and make my own playlist. That's really where I only get any true satisfaction. I think that's probably true for a lot of people. So, anyway, they're going after. How much do they want? $150,000 per infringement. Of course, the maximum allowed by the copyright folks. So, I owe some royalties? Well, maybe I do owe some royalties, but again, nothing illegal about copying, you know, as a kid, copying music from the radio for your own enjoyment. You know, I wasn't selling media. All right, okay, rant off. You know, you guys watching me in the video, I keep banging my nose. I have this big schnoz here that keeps whacking. I got to get it back off this mic. All right. I love books like, I'm just looking over here at my shelf. I've got stuff from Jaeger, John Glenn, and I got all these books about these American heroes who were involved breaking the speed of sound and going into space. And I really love reading their stories and their biographies. If I would say that there's anything out of beyond science fiction that I like, is I like to read biographies from military leaders, from, again, people have done remarkable things that are in the history books here in the United States. I don't necessarily read biographies of business people. I think the only business biography I ever read was Steve Jobs' book. But there's a new astronaut memoir coming out. And it's coming from astronaut Michael Massimo. And he flew on two shuttle missions to repair the Hubble Space Telescope. This guy's got a crazy story to tell. And he's described his path to space and what the job was like in this new book coming out next month. And he's offering a special gift to those who pre-order. It's called Spaceman. It's going to be published by Crown Publishing, and it'll be released on October 4th. And he announced the thank you gift on Twitter. He was also the first astronaut to tweet from space. He promised a signed book plate sticker and modeled the Space Shuttle Enterprise to eager readers. Now, you can pre-order the book and snag the gifts available online. So I don't buy a lot of hardcover books anymore. I do from time to time. And this one I'm adding to the list. So the what is the price? Does it show what the price is? It doesn't. But I guess it's in the All right. Well, anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you, and we'll get the price for you. But this is going to be cool. It's just a stupid little mini space shuttle. But the guy's going to sign. You get a signed book here, and I think this is going to be a good one. So if you like reading memoirs or biographies of that type of stuff, definitely have this link up in the show notes for you guys to check it out. Okay. All right, next thing up, you guys got Legos in your house? Every parent has kids, maybe even, you know, my family, we're nutso on Legos, to the point where we have an incredibly large collection of Legos. And matter of fact, right here in the studio, I've got a Lego man that lost his hat that my son gave me a number of years ago. And he stays right here on the by the switcher. But according to the Brits, parents, apparently kids are throwing a lot of Legos in the toilet. British insurance company Direct Line reports that 2.5 million Lego bricks have been flushed down the toilet by British kids under 10. Doesn't say if it was this year or in the lifetime, but if you'd like to picture that, the company says that many Lego bricks could build a tower 3 times taller than the current world record of 35 meters, 115 feet, which was built with an estimated 550,000 of these little plastic blocks. And, you know, stepping on Legos were bad. Everyone's done one. You know, there's nothing worse than stepping on a Lego at about 3 o'clock in the morning. you know if we've all done it, right? And you know, and you want to cuss like nobody's business because it hurts, especially if you get the sharp end. Oh my God, they hurt. So yeah, and they're suggesting that parents have a toilet lid lock. I didn't even know those existed. When you got little kids in the house that are potty training, the last thing you want on the toilet lid is a lock. But they say kids under 10 are throwing Legos in the toilet. So, okay. So just a little factoid here from an insurance company. All right, I'm a little bit. I got two things to say. There's an article, and let me bring up the page, and it's from like, and I've never talked about this particular website before. It's talking about Inverse.com is the company. So they're saying your phone's emergency alert could actually be useful. The New York City bombing suspect's alert was perfect illustration of what's wrong. So basically, this young lady that wrote this says, the alert popped up at 8 a.m. on September 19th with minimal info. With minimal info, along with directions to see media for pick and to call 911 if suspect Ahmad Khan Rami, a 28-year-old male, was seen. Now, this is what pisses me off about what she says here. At best, it was inadequate, and at worst, it incited racial profiling. How naming a suspect by name, is that considered racial profiling? She goes on to say, so yeah, it was stupid and dangerous, but current laws don't allow for anything beyond that stupid and dangerous thing. So she's actually bitching about this alert that all New Yorkers got, alerting them to basically go to the media to look at pics, to call 911 if they see this dude. And that's what happened. A bar owner saw this guy. Well, there's some proposed changes coming. The FCC is proposing an increase to 360 characters along with the ability to include phone numbers and a link to web pages. That's all good. All good. So that data comes across in the actual alert. Those are probably great changes. But I assume this young lady lives in the city. And yet, she's complaining about the alert being racial profiling. Okay, what do you want me to do? Just say some dude? Some dude, you know, is not, be on the lookout for some dude? I just, the whole article I wasn't even going to cover until I saw her little snipe. She's basically, you know, doing a hit on the New York system. I just, it blows me away. You know, it's just like this guy that did this shooting where, you know, he basically went into a mall and started firing, right? Well, this guy's got some issues too. But yet, they have information on the suspect. They're announcing it. Where are we at today? How come we can't call a spade a spade? You know, why can't we say things the way it really is? Why do we have to tiptoe around stuff? You know, I really don't get it. I'd be honest with you, I don't. There's great, okay, rant off soapbox. On Wired, Microsoft bet its futures on a reprogrammable computer chip. And I've known about this technology for a long time. Matter of fact, my TriCaster that's running right now has a reprogrammable computer chip. Matter of fact, two of them in the box, and it's called an FPGA. In 2012, Microsoft started looking at the FPGA technology. And let me tell you, it's very, very powerful stuff. And if you're a computer science major, or you have a kid going into computer science engineering, they're going to have to get very familiar with FPGAs. Because today, the FPGAs that are on the market can be reprogrammed to do an incredible diverse number of jobs, tasks, and they have incredible processing power. So what's happening is Microsoft is incorporating into their data centers standard computer chassis, or maybe a custom chassis, with an FPGA board in a slot. And what it allows them to do is basically update and restructure their whole network really on the fly. And over the next year, as servers come out from Microsoft, they're going to be delivered with an FPGA chip inside them. This stuff is the FPGA. If you can learn to program FPGA chips and how to interact with them, and you're going to be rich. You're going to be paid handsomely for your talents. And I agree with a statement that's made in this article that today the programmable chips are going to transform the world. We're at a point where transistor density on processors, you know, we're going from like a 14 nanometer to a 10 nanometer density that Intel's working on. It's been delayed. It's hard for them to produce 14 nanometer chips consistently perfect. So the Moore's Law situation is getting to the point where not only are they going to have to relook how processors handle the data that they're programmed to do, they're going to have to look at ways to getting more bang for the buck out of servers, and these FPGA cards are going to be exactly it. They're going to help drive new search logarithms. They're going to develop neural networks. They're going to help with the AI modeling, you name it. So when Microsoft servers are delivered across the globe, there's going to be millions of machines that have these chips in them. Now, this isn't just Bing or Google or Microsoft. It's Microsoft catching up with Google. They've got this project they're calling Catapult, really signals a change in how global systems will operate in the future. It's truly going to be evolutionary. I've been exposed to FPGAs for a long time and a variety of things I've worked on in my life, and it's going to be it's fun for me to watch the mainstream kind of catch up, because of the power and the processing power that's available in these. And again, you got to be a brain. You know, this is not kids play stuff. This is hard engineering work on a programming level that is very significant. You have a big head to have to work in this field. But I'm going to tell you, if you can become an expert in programming FPGA chips, you just name your price. I'm telling you straight up. So if any of you out there doing computer engineering, I would definitely be looking for some classes that expose you to this, or get one and learn how to program it and deal with it. It's going to be cool. It truly, truly is. And, you know, it kind of relates to GPUs on NVIDIA processors, and you buying NVIDIA processor cards without a video connection. It's just, you're just using the GPUs in it. All this stuff has taken us to the next level in processing power. That's available to you and I today. So exciting stuff. There's something that goes along with this is they're going to have to start changing how they program processors too. And there was an article out today. They're talking about chaos theory and a whole bunch of other stuff. I tell you, things are moving fast. And I think the next 10 years are going to be really exciting from a tech standpoint. And we're going to really start seeing some major breakthroughs when it comes to AI and them being able to deliver what we want when we want for information and stuff. So I think Microsoft's on the right track here in a big, big way. All right. I think in the last show, we talked about Krebs being taken offline by a denial of service attack, and they were basically hosted by Akamai. Well, Akamai said that they couldn't handle it. And Akamai is like one of the biggest CDNs in the world. But the Google basically stepped up and said, hey, Krebs, we can handle your website. We can handle your denial of service attacks. It's kind of like a, you know, thumb nose at Akamai. So I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. So they have got, and this is something that I've got to look into, but Google has provided protection for journalists and other types of folks that have been under these heavy denial of service attacks before, and it's called Project Shield. And Google provides Shield, again, to verified journalists and nonprofit organizations. So we'll see how this goes, but Krebs basically be given an olive branch by the folks over at Google, and good on them. Okay, talk just a little bit about the chaos theory thing. I have the link up in the show notes. It really kind of dives into that. You want to hurt your brain a little bit, read the article I have linked up in the show notes. Talked a little bit about, at the beginning of the show, about this pay-per-mile insurance. It's a startup called Metromile, and they've raised $191.5 million in startup funding. They've acquired a company called Mosaic Insurance. And we know that the automotive industry is in flux with the rise of self-driving cars and electric vehicles. But now they're saying that this company is going to offer to consumers insurance based upon the number of miles you drive a year. So if you don't drive very much, you're probably going to be able to get a pretty inexpensive policy because the risk is lower. But if you're like me, and you drive as many miles as many of you do in the mainland here in Hawaii, I'm sure it'll be a much, much higher rate. Matter of fact, my insurance with GEICO, who I currently have as my insurance company, has not went down a long time. And, you know, with the two young adult drivers on the insurance policy, we don't get whacked here it just adds a little bit more to the monthly bill. But you know, I just have not seen my insurance rates go down. It's supposed, you know, I'm getting older. It's supposed to go down, and it's not happening. So maybe they'll be able to save me some money too. I don't know. Big announcement today by Plex. Plex Cloud lets you dump your home media server. All you need is a Plex Pass and an Amazon Drive subscription. So I'm not, you know, I had not been up to speed real big on what Plex was doing in the past, but they got my attention in a big, big way today. You know, thanks to streaming, physical formats like CDs and Blu-rays aren't as popular as they once were. Some people choose to sign up for a monthly subscription like Netflix or Spotify, while others take the do-it-yourself approach. For many years, Plex has helped people build their own media collections and stream that content to nearly every connected device they own. However, it required either a computer or a network attached storage device. Today, companies opened a new avenue in its media streaming with a product called Plex Cloud. Gone is the need for you to for the server in the cupboard, replaced with a Amazon Drive subscription and a Plex Pass. So what it's going to cost you is going to cost you $60 for a yearly for the Amazon Drive subscription for unlimited storage for a year, while the Plex Pass is going to either be $5 a month or $40 a year. While Plex Pass has worked to enable many of the same features as Plex Media Server, they're not ready for launch. The company says that camera upload, mobile sync, cloud sync, media optimizer, DLNA, and DVR are not available right away, but it worked to add them. And I know DLNA and DVR is what many of you use on your home media servers. So, but we'll see what this does. But they've opened a beta, and they're inviting people to sign up. So if you're already Plex Pass holders are going to be given priority. So if any of you are Plex users, I'd love to talk to you. I'm definitely going to be exploring this myself as well. You know, every time I get stuck in traffic here in Hawaii, I think how cool it would be if I had some sort of like mini helicopter or something, or some way to just, you know, walk out of my house, you know, stick the kid I'm delivering to school or wherever I'm going, and get in that thing and fly across town and park it in an Uber someplace. Well, Uber is thinking about that themselves. They're exploring offering short hop flights across town using some sort of VTOL aircraft. And I thought, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Now, how much it's going to cost, I don't know. But, you know, if you're in L.A., or if you're in San Francisco, or you're in New York City, where the traffic is just like, kill me now, including here, you know, where people, you know, spend half their lives, it seems, wind's really blowing tonight. Where people spend half their lives in a vehicle, they're exploring what it would take to, you know, they're not going to be able to get this off the ground right away, but they're definitely looking at this. Where you could travel from like San Francisco to Oakland in 9 minutes, jump out of the vehicle and jump in an Uber and be somewhere. What would that cost? I don't know. But they want to have it so that it could be pretty automated. Electric flying craft of some sort. And you know, next 10 years we could see this. I'm sure this would probably only be affordable by the rich and famous. But man, anything to get us out of our cars and shorten transit times would be awesome. Awesome. Okay. Let's see here. All right, let's talk about Roku. Big fan of Roku. I really am. You know, most of you know that we had app 13, 14, and 15 on the Roku. Tech Podcast, Blueberry, and Pro Med Network were the 13th, 14th, and 15th channels. It's pretty popular with the Roku folks for a little while. Now there's 4,000, and they know my name at trade shows. But that's it. You know, they got bigger fish to fry, lots of big you know, big name clients that have got channels on the Roku. So, but Roku's revamped its full line. And they've got entry-level Roku Express costing $29.99. They've got Roku Express Plus at $39.99. They've got the Roku Premier at $79, Premier Plus at $99, and finally Roku Ultra for $129, which supports Dolby Digital Plus decoder and optical output, which is awesome for those of you that have an optical input on a stereo system of some sort. But only the Ultra and Premier have RF wireless remotes, which is different. The Express and Express Plus and Premier remotes work with IR only. So that's not a lot of change. But this is awesome. New update for the Roku line. And I will probably here in the next couple of weeks, bust out the credit card and order a Roku Ultra. But I'm finding, too, that, I'm spending a lot of time between my Amazon Prime using my Fire Stick and Roku. Probably those are the probably two biggest devices that I'm using now. I don't use my Chromecast very much. I still have a couple of devices that are no longer made, which we that we use. But I do definitely like them. And I have actually had to replug in Rokus and deauthorize them because we've sold them in garage sales. I've had so many of those hockey pucks around here that, every version I buy the new one and then I look at a box a year later, I'm like, oh, we should sell that. So how many of you got like lots of those types of gadgets just hanging out at your home that you should sell? Just donate it to someone too. You could do that. Hey, there's an article over on Gizmodo talking about Uber's self-driving car passengers were signing their lives away. It appears those folks that were riding around in those self-driving vehicles in Pittsburgh probably had signed some sort of an acknowledgement that they could not hold Uber liable if they got hurt or killed in one of their vehicles. So before you jump in a self-driving passenger car from Uber, be aware that with terms of service changes, you may have signed your legal ability to get compensation or sue Uber down the road. I'm going to try to get some more information on this. If this was one of those things where they updated the app, they updated the terms of service, you agreed to it, and you agreed to basically not be able to hold those folks liable. I'll try to find out more information on that over the next few days here, but the link will be up in the show notes. You know, I love going to trade shows because they always are so self-important that internet's $12,000, $15,000, $3,000, $5,000, for a 4 or 5 day event. It is truly a business that your captured audience, you need internet connectivity and they just whack you hard. Well, I'm glad that some other folks got a taste of it today because at the debate, the venue offering, the debate was at a college and the venue was offering journalists $200 Wi-Fi for the afternoon. Yeah. $200 is what it cost journalists to report from the presidential debate today. So, do I feel sorry for them? Nope. I don't feel sorry for them at all. But they were going around with a sniffer looking for hotspots, rogue hotspots out there and shutting down hotspots. This is what they do in big venues. If you have a hotspot running, they'll come around and they'll figure out what booth you're in and they'll come in and say, hey, you need to turn off your hotspot. You can ride around, run it incognito. They don't care. They've got, real nice Fluke meters that, looks for that Wi-Fi signal and they just walk around and can track it down to you. So, they didn't want people doing USB tethering. And actually, that's probably what a lot of people are doing is USB tethering to their phones, which would allow them to sidestep But wow, oh wow. So, yep, $200 for Wi-Fi. And I don't feel sorry for them because I've paid those prices for years, and that's actually pretty cheap. Update on Windows 10, 400 million machines are now running Windows 10. Growth slows as the free upgrade expires. So the latest update on usage comes just 3 months after the software maker released revealed 350 million devices running Windows 10. So a lot of people will probably made the rush to get in on for the free update, but they're sitting at about 400 million. I just got my Square Reader. Those of you guys are like, what do you mean? What's that? Well, I have a Square account. Many of you probably have paid a bill with a vendor, you know, with a swiping us your credit card through a Square device. And so I did not have a chip card reader. And so I spent $49 and ordered my updated Bluetooth enabled Square chip card reader. And, you know, I know many of us have been in a grocery store or, you know, you've had to stick your credit card in and you wait and you wait and you watch the little screen and it seems like it takes forever to process the transaction, and you're not even using a PIN. It's just reading your chip card, right? So, which to me makes no sense because crooks can still steal your credit card and they don't have to put your PIN in. But Square's been trying to fix the card speed problems, and they've said they've reduced transaction times by about 20%. So again, I haven't even taken mine out of the box, but I think this is a industry-wide problem with groceries. You know, anywhere that heck, most of the time they're taped over and say no chip card, please swipe. So, anything to improve the transaction time on those readers is good, and I wish the rest of these companies would step up and do that as well. There's a photo, and I don't know if I can blow this up. And it shows us what we've become. Oh, yeah, I think I can blow this up. No, can I? Yeah, let me show this to you guys, those that are views that are... So you have Secretary Clinton at a rally event, and she's working the line to take to have pictures taken. So what they've got her stepped up on a raised platform so she can talk to them, but everyone that is behind the line is got their backs to her, and they're all taking selfies with her in the background. It is truly, to me, and I don't know if this was staged, but it's truly bizarre to me to see this. Here you have, potentially, you know, depending on the outcome of the election, next president of the United States. Wouldn't you want to, like, turn around and face them and see her versus like trying to get a selfie? And it's really, they're not even close enough to get a selfie. It's the most bizarre picture I think I've seen in a long time. And it's a sign of the times. We're all stuck on ourselves. You know, got to take a picture of us. Picture me, picture me, picture me. It's just blows me away. I don't know what to think about it, to be honest with you. What do you guys think? Are we doomed as a society? Are we doomed? Or am I just getting too old? Love to hear feedback, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, yellow taxis have a brand new weapon in their war against Uber. Well, first thing they can do with yellow taxis is they can make them so they don't stink. Number two, they can make it a pleasant drive experience. Otherwise, I am not taking a yellow taxi, but yellow taxis are upgrading. They're making it easier now so that we can actually use our credit card when we ride a yellow taxi instead of the driver saying, no, it doesn't work. You know, always having to have cash and cabs. So they're trying to come up with touchscreen tablets, biometric readers, and Wi-Fi for the vehicles. They're rolling out a system with a company called Verifone. Verifone's been in business a long, long time. So they're trying to upgrade taxis in New York, so make the ride a little more pleasant for people that actually get in a yellow cab. So I don't know if there's any hope for the taxi business. And I was actually asking my wife about the Uber situation in Japan, and she gave me this wrinkled up nose, you know, like Japanese taxi drivers are professional drivers. There is no Uber in Japan. And I'm like, you just wait. The Japanese are pretty conservative. So, you know, Uber will probably have a very hard time breaking into the Japanese market. And it'll probably be fought tooth and nail. But at least Japanese taxi drivers don't try to rip you off. At least, and not any that I've been with. They do, you know, take you the right route, or, you know, try to get you the quickest route someplace. But, man, I just, you know, the taxi industry did it to themselves. They did it to themselves. A U.S. senator wants the SEC to investigate the Yahoo hack. Democratic Senator Mark Warner on Monday asked the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to investigate whether Yahoo and its senior executives fulfilled obligations to inform investors and the public about a hacking attack that affected 500 million users. Yeah, I talked about this in the last show. I think they should be investigated. How come they took them 2 years to tell us? So I'm all for that particular investigation. I'm a big fan of Sonos, but their speakers are not cheap. I can afford to buy like one a year. And I haven't bought one in a couple of years because they range from $199 all the way up to $500. But they are fantastic speakers, especially if you're trying to stay decorative in your home and to modernize and be able to use your mobile devices. And you know, it's really a great system. Well, because Apple's went completely wireless with the iPhone 7, you're going to be able to buy Sonos speakers in the Apple Store here shortly. Of course, they're available already at Best Buy, Target, Sonos.com. And you're not going to find any price differences at Apple, but you do get a gift card for 90 days free of Apple Music. But they're not going to be offering the Sonos Play 3, which I like the most. And that's probably the one that is the most popular. But it doesn't matter. You can find these online at Sonos.com. Again, nice Christmas present. If you have any daughters that are using the website, it's a social web hangout website for teenage girls. What's the name of this thing? It's called DressUp. DressUp.com. And it allows girls to create avatars. And then they can change outfits and so forth. But this particular website is storing passwords plain text. And a hacker's already got 2.2 million of the young girls' account credentials. So ask your daughters if they're using dressup.com. If they are, please make sure you work with them to change the password. It still hasn't been fixed at the company, but at least make sure they're not using a common password. But they're still trying to, I guess hackers are still downloading information at this time. There's 4.4 million user accounts. So if you have a young lady that's using this website called DressUp, pretty big hack here for a teenage site. Update on Pokemon Go. It has been basically, it's no longer number one app in the App Store. It apparently has been replaced by Clash Royale. I think I've seen some advertisements for Clash Royale, but it's a popular battling game. But they're still saying 1 in 4 smartphones in Japan and 1 in 10 owners in the U.S. are playing and 1 in 4 in Japan. So it's still pretty popular. I know that my son kind of slowed down playing it a little bit. So it's not as popular here, but they said they earned $500 million so far. Good on Niantic. There's an article on The Verge talking about the $40 headphone jack for the iPhone 7. And it goes into an interesting article about 24 million Americans only accessing the internet through their smartphones. And in Japan, it's actually, the number is much, much bigger. They do everything on their smartphones in Japan. But with this, with this $40 jack to be able to listen and charge at the same time, they're saying that folks that are, that primarily use their smartphone for the internet many times are on the lower income level. They can't afford internet connection at home, but they can afford a smartphone and the mobile bill to be able to get online. So they use their phone a lot more. Thus need to be on the charger more. So they're saying that this change to the iPhone 7 could be negatively impactful to the folks that may not be able to actually afford the dongle. I think they're being a little extreme. I think they're going to be able to, most people that are going to be able to afford to upgrade to the iPhone 7 know what they're going to be facing and will be able to afford the dongle. But they're trying to get some more digs in here on Apple, and I appreciate it because I don't like the removal of the headphone jack either. But they say this will mostly affect the low-income consumers because they won't be able to afford to go to a Bluetooth headset and so forth. So, or headphones, excuse me. But I don't know if I agree with this article, but link will be up there for you to check it out. Hey, you Mac users, there's a new Mac Trojan. If you've been looking at the Russian space program, you may be hacked. A security researcher found this new malware. The Trojan, called Complex, can download, execute, and delete files from an infected Mac, according to security firm Palo Alto Networks. The Trojan will also save a PDF document to the infected system concerning the Russian space program. The PDF document details planned Russian space projects from 2016 to 2025, but it acts as a decoy. In reality, the Trojan is a package of tools that will attempt to secretly communicate with basically calling home to mama back to the command and control server. This includes sending Betty Dick on the Virgin's username process list running infected system on the infected system. The Trojan can also receive instructions and it will forward the results to the control server. So just beware, you guys are not exempt from malware out there. And this is in the wild right now and will probably expand. You ever have problems with kidney stones? Kind of a weird topic, yeah? Well, if you do have problems with kidney stones, riding a roller coaster makes it easier to pass a kidney stone. Researchers went to Walt Disney World in the name of science and basically found that folks that are riding roller coasters are definitely having an easier time to pass kidney stones. Now, they had to ride the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad 20 times and to be able to find this out. But I guess the shaking and the bouncing and the moving and the G's put on the body is probably helping. And they said that they were using a replica kidney, that it caused the stones to be passed by the silicon kidney 60% of the time. Sitting in the front caused the stones to be at 17% of the time. So you got to sit in the back. So if you got a stone, get to the amusement park, ride the ride in the back. Motorola, I'm in the Moto division. So sorry. Lenovo today it's laying off a significant portion of its employees. The company says that layoffs impact less than 2% of its 55,000 employees. Today's layoffs follow significant cuts last year where they reduced headcount by 3,200. So more people are getting the axe. A lot more mobile engineers are going to be on the market if you're looking for one. Ars Technica has a guide of some of the new series coming out on Netflix and on Crackle and some of the other sites. So if you're looking for some new shows to watch this coming fall, we'll definitely have this link up for you to check out. I was kind of looking through the list, and the only thing that looked interesting to me is maybe Timeless from NBC. Maybe Pure Genius as well, but there's a whole stack here of you name it, from cartoons to series to science fiction to blood and gore, you name it. Full list of new shows coming out this fall. And I don't know if they'll make it past season one. that I'll give you the lineup for you anyway to look through if you're definitely have cut the cord and looking for new content. You know, Voyagers, the two Voyager spacecraft have been outbound for a while. And I don't know if I covered this in the last show or not. If I did, I apologize. But there's a Kickstarter going on right now that if you're a big fan of, you know, the Voyager mission and you want to get a replica of the album, you know, the gold record that was sent into space with the two Voyager spacecraft, they got a Kickstarter to make replicas of this. And this is pretty cool what they're doing here. It's going to cost you $99 to basically get the set at the level. And they've raised like $600,000. It's going to deliver sometime next year. But, you know, if you're a space fan, I've been thinking about it. If nothing else, to have it on the shelf. It would just, you know, when people come over to your house, you want them to see something and go, "What is that?" You know, you want to have some talking pieces in your house, right? And my studio is kind of like that. I've got, you guys can't see it, but there's a cabinet back here in the corner where I collect Navy memorabilia and a variety of different things. And I've got some cool stuff that I have scored off eBay and a variety of places, thrift shops, you name it, that I've scored over the years. And it's just, it's not really like super valuable. It's just weirdo stuff. You know, on my one wall, I've got a Howitzer 105 round. That's got a whole story behind it. You know, all kinds. It's okay. It's a shot round. It's just the, you know, the casing. So come from a gunship, and that's all I'm going to tell you about that. So, you know, collecting this kind of cool stuff. So if you know, if you're kind of into that, to collect cool stuff to have in your house or for your personal collection, this Voyager Golden Record will definitely be the greatest album in the universe for the geeks out there. And, oh, they've raised $646,000. There's 23 days to go. They've had 5,200 backers so far. All right. Last few articles here. Cops got a call. There's a 9/11 call. Basically said that they saw some people that saw a woman that looks like she was beat up. Potential assault happening inside a moving car. Well, the police did pull the vehicle over. And these were two individuals that were on their way to a set. And they were in Manchester in the UK. And they were on their way to a movie set, and they were going to be doubles for a zombie film. You know, imagine you're driving down the road, and you look over, and you see, you know, some woman looks at you through the car, and she got a bloody face, and you're like, oh, my God, her husband just beat her up. And, you know, of course you're going to call the authorities, right? I just saw a woman that's all bloody, and it turns out the husband, you know, her partner was just as, you know, made up to look pretty bad too. And so the police posted a photo on Twitter. But good for the citizen, comedy for the rest of us. All right. Japanese are going to be able to pay utility bills using Bitcoin. That's pretty cool. It's called CoinCheck. You'll be able to pay your electricity bill if you have some Bitcoins. So, kind of novel. And if you've ever seen some Japanese electricity bills, they're going to need lots of Bitcoins. SpaceX has fired its Raptor engine for Mars flight for the first time. And they did a pretty good run. So, Elon Musk was pretty happy tweeting about it, showing the, this thing has got some guts, I'm going to tell you. And it's an interplanetary transport engine. So, this is a big step for them on their planned Mars landing in 2025. Okay, last couple of articles are fun. These come from coasttocoastam.com. There's a pretty good video. UK officials are baffled by a hot UFO. And this particular video doesn't surprise me. at all. And I'll let you guys take a look at it. And I'd love to hear your feedback. Brownie, listen. Like to have your feedback on this particular video. It's pretty cool. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Also, what is it with people in these clown outfits? Police have caught a creepy clown in Kentucky. You know, someone is just asking to get shot. You know, let's be honest. Someone's going around in neighborhoods wearing a clown outfit. And I don't know if there's any Peeping Tom activity going on or not. But if you're going around in the dark wearing a clown outfit trying to scare people, at some point someone's going to DEAD because someone's going to freak out and shoot. It's just what it's going to happen. This is the fourth week of people doing this. People are freaking out in the South. So I guess people, you get a few beers in here or something, say, give me, hey, let's get a clown outfit. And of course, now we're getting close to Halloween, so they'll probably get even more nuts. But so it happened in Middlesboro, North Carolina. No, in Kentucky. Middlesboro, Kentucky. I don't even know where that's at. So some 20-year-old. He didn't look so scary when they took off his clown mask. And finally, there's five videos that are pretty unsettling. One of them we talked about on the show where a would-be robber hung out at the top of the stairs of a house where a family hung out and watched TV below. But there's a complete collection of very unsettling videos I have up in the show notes for you to check out tonight. Okay, so, wow, oh my God, we're running long. I need a wrap here. Sorry for keeping you guys so long tonight. I didn't realize I talked this long. You like it anyway, right? Hey, Nier, thanks for your comments. Yes, I'm saying ways correctly. Been saying it correctly for a while. You must have not been listening lately. But I guess that's it. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. I'll be back with you Thursday here for another live show. And, of course, on demand, available Tuesday and Friday morning. Everyone, make sure you're subscribed if you aren't already. Those of you who have been on Facebook hanging out with me late, I appreciate it. So who all was on Facebook today? Let me see if I can look. Rita, you've been here. You were here commented the most. So thanks very much. And anyone else? It's been fun. But there was a number of folks on YouTube as well. But everyone take care. See you back here on Thursday for another edition of the Geek News Central Podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.